For our youngsters who are actually watching, what would you like to give as an advice or kind of like a proof for God, I would say? Because there are many, many types of arguments that can be made. The challenge, however, is that we sometimes look for the easiest, simplest one that can, you know, one size fits all kind of thing. If you were to pick one of them and you were to say, if you know this and if you've mastered this and if you understood it, then inshallah, you'll be able to give a good message to people who might be away from it, maybe kind of wake them up to the reality of who Allah is, and so kind of shake them up so that they understand that, you know, they have to die one day and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what would you say is a good argument for that?
Atheism for me is the equivalent, if not worse, than believing the earth is flat. It doesn't really have intellectual veracity at all. We've given it that platform because maybe we haven't really understood the psychological aspects of atheism or even the so-called intellectual aspects. But when we look at the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the main question that Allah is really answering for us is not, does God exist, but who's worthy of worship? Or that Allah is worthy of worship. And this is very important to understand because it shifts the debate and the discussion. And we could unpack why that's the case, because I would argue that the idea of creative agency, the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is self-evidently true. And even in philosophy, if something is self-evidently true, true by default, the one who's opposing that claim has to provide the evidence, right? And there's so many other things we can unpack, and there's a chapter in my book on this issue. So I frame it that way so that people realize, oh, that's very interesting. And when you look at what an atheist is from an Islamic paradigm, you have different terms. For example, you have ilhad. You have the dahriya, which is like the philosophical naturalist of like the early period. But say ilhad coming from lahad, right? Lahad in the grave is like, you know, you dig a hole and there is a little side pocket. That's the lahad. It's a deviation, godlessness. So a mulhid is someone who deviates. That's the first point. The second point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in hadith in Sahih Muslim that every child is born in a state of fitrah. Yeah, there are scholarly discussions on this, but basically we have a fitrah that has an affinity, or it's driving itself towards the haq, which is Allah is one, he's worthy of worship, he's worthy of extensive praise, he exists. So it's natural. Then Allah says, only a fool, someone imprudent, will reject the way of Ibrahim, which is Tawheed, and within Tawheed is creative agency, the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are we getting from the Quranic paradigm here? We're getting that atheism is unnatural, it's a deviation, right? It's irrational. Because what does Allah say in chapter 52, verse 35 to 36? At the end, indeed you have no certainty, right? Because what does Allah say? Did you come from nothing? Am khuliqu, makhluq, you're something that once didn't exist. Muhdath, you came into being. So did you come from nothing? I know there is a scholarly discussion if it's from or via nothing, but the same, at the end the conclusion is the same. Did you come from nothing? Did you create yourself? Did you create the heavens and the earth? Balla yuqinoon, indeed you don't have any certainty. And I gave them just basically an explanation of these ayat. Wallahi, I've used these ayat against philosophers, thinkers, humanists, liberals, secularists, some of the greatest atheists, and I am telling you, they have had no response as a counter-defeater. They may have some shubuhat here and there, but as a undercutting defeater, nothing. And it's from the Quran. So the Quran is talking about the human being, but you can't apply the logic of these verses to something that came into existence. So we could establish the universe came into existence just by a metaphysical argument. You don't need to go to astrophysical evidence that's dhanni, because it's speculative, it's going to change, and it may change. We don't have to go to the philosophy of mathematics or the infinity. We could just talk about very basic things. So if you allow me, take this phone for example. If I said to you this phone is eternal, everyone would reject it. But why is the phone not eternal? Maybe I can claim, you didn't see its beginning. You can't see its destruction. This phone is eternal. Well, the reason intuitively and rationally we believe this phone is not eternal is because why? It has limited physical qualities. It has a particular shape, size, volume, color, temperature, density, mass. Why is it this color, not another color? Why is it this shape and not another shape? Why is it this mass and not another mass? And so on and so forth. And that raises another question. Can things with limited physical qualities give rise to their own limitations? No. I didn't give rise to my own limitations. Therefore, there is something external to me that gave rise to those limitations. And therefore, this thing is finite. So therefore, it had a beginning. So if you take this phone and expand it to the size of the universe, same conclusion. Because it fundamentally is made of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Whether you call it strings or quarks or whatever, irrelevant. Limited physical qualities. So it's finite. If it's finite, then you could universalize the logic of these ayat. Did the thing that is makhluk, that came into existence, that's finite, did it come from nothing? Did it create itself? Was it created by something else created? Because why? What does the ayah say? Did you, the human being, the thing that is makhluk, create the heavens and the earth, which is makhluk? Yeah? Yes. So ultimately, is that an explanation? Or, which is implied in the ayat, or is there an uncreated creator? So just to repeat, did it come from nothing? Did it create itself? Was it created by something else that was created? Or was it created by something uncreated? So let's break it down. Could the universe come from nothing? What we mean by nothing is no thing, no prior causal conditions. We're not talking about the theological nothing, kun fayakun. That's different. That means Allah didn't have anything prior when He actually created the first creative thing, the first creation. Allah was there, yani, so you can't say it's nothing at all. His irada and qudra were the prior causal conditions to bring the first creation into existence. So we're not talking about that type of nothing. We're saying no thing, no prior causal conditions, no thing at all. Can something arise from that? No. Because when you have kuchne, nothing, and more kuchne, and more kuchne, you're going to get?
Kuchne.
Yeah. Zero plus zero plus zero is zero. Something with no property, with no potential, no prior causal conditions, no thing at all. It's impossible. And if they claim that's the case, then they're irrational, absurd.
True.
Because it's the equivalent of me shutting my eyes, counting to three, and after three, this whole room has disappeared. And I should say it's perfectly fine. How can that be perfectly fine? Because it's irrational. There must have been an explanation how it disappeared or it's gone into nothing. Because if you could accept the universe coming from nothing, you should also accept this building, this room, to disappear for no reason at all.
True.
And that's logically absurd. So it couldn't come from nothing. Couldn't create itself. Very easy way of doing this. Did you create yourself? Can your mother give birth to herself? This implies that something exists and doesn't exist at the same time. Last point. Was the universe created by something else that was created ultimately? Many may argue, well, this universe was as a result of a prior universe. Okay, no problem. Is that an ultimate explanation? No. Okay. If it's not an ultimate explanation, let's explain that universe that created this universe. Oh, it was another universe. Okay, no problem. What created that universe? Another universe. Oh, okay, what created that universe? Another universe. If that goes on forever, we will never have today's universe, right? This is not the infinite regress of events, it's the infinite regress of causes. It's absurd, yeah? So, in order for this universe to come into existence, it had to wait forever in order for it to come into existence. But forever never ends. And if it's true, it's a forever chain, we would never have this universe in the first place. So Ibn Taymiyyah and Al-Ghazali basically affirmed this point. So what does this mean? There must be an uncreated creator. That's the quick way of showing that there's a creator from the Quran. And I believe the Quran arguments are the best arguments. And I believe they could also be universalized. So you don't have to believe in revelation to accept this argument.
Yeah, this is universal.
Yeah, you can universalize it. So from that perspective, you could show there's an uncreated creator. And there's other things that you can rationalize, but we could just go to the next point really quickly. If there's a creator, then he's worthy of worship. He is worthy of your adoration, of your obedience and your worship. There's many reasons for that. But let's take one very quick reason. If Allah is Al-Khaliq, He's the perpetually creating, He's Al-Khalaq, sorry, the perpetually creating, He's Al-Khaliq, the creator, then He created everything. All of the asbab that you use to enjoy yourself and all of the blessings that you have. But significantly, Allah has given you something, has created something for you to use, or He's given you something that is priceless, that you don't earn, own or deserve. And it's freely given to you. And it's every moment of your existence. If I said to you, you had 10 minutes left to live, but in order to have another 10 days, you have to give me all of your wealth, you would throw all of your wealth at me. Such is the priceless gift of life. But we don't earn life, own life or deserve it. We can't even create a fly, as Allah says in the Quran. So from that perspective, if it's true that Allah gives us a priceless gift at every moment of our existence that we don't earn, own or deserve, how should it make us feel? Grateful. Grateful to whom? Allah. And gratitude is a key to worship. It is a form of worship, right? As we know in Kitab, Surah Al-Fatiha, the first, depends what opinion you follow, but the main verse, you know, all perfect praise and gratitude belongs to the Lord of everything that exists. True. So, and how do you express your gratitude? Through worship. Acts of worship. How do you know what these acts of worship are? Following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's very quick nutshell. It was a powerful question, but I would use the Quranic argument.